Sponsored No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. This is Wednesday now into Thursday from the 27th. Still the 27th. You're still awake, I say. End of the 28th, 2011. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. We'll be getting into a lot of news and information for you here on the broadcast this evening, and we will also be continuing in our reading. William Bramley, we left off last time reading on a chapter about the Count of Saint Germain. I'd like to continue there where we left off last time tonight for you. So I hope you'll make some coffee and do yourself a Mountain Dew enema, whatever you got to do, and stay up late with us here tonight as we broadcast it out into the atmosphere. We're really starting to turn this Moonbat late night thing into a regular thing. Pretty much when I do the show now, but I like that. I've loved the flexibility of doing the show. And so I've just pretty much said that from now on, I'm just going to do the show whenever I want to do it. There's not going to be a set time for this broadcast anymore ever again. I'm just going to, from now on, for the rest of eternity, I'm just going to do it whenever I want to do it. And I like it that way. And I was on there for 3 hours last night with Lee Rogers on his broadcast and Live Free or Die Radio. And thanks to everybody who tuned in over there last night. It was a good show. It always is a good show. And it's up in our archive section as well. We've been replaying it here on the network for you. So if you didn't hear that show live and you didn't hear the rebroadcast or anything, definitely check that out. I think it was a lot of really good information there. But anyway, what else are you going to listen to this late, right? I mean, what are you going to listen to Coast to Coast AM or the Poodlehead, or the guy with the Poodlehead Mossad agent on his head? He's not a Mossad agent, but he has one on his head. But yeah, seriously, what else are you going to listen to this early, late, however you want to look at it, whatever your particular perspective is. There's not a big bunch of news. You kind of heard, if you did listen to that show last night, you heard both Lee and my opinion on the current state of the news. And so there's a few things that tonight pertain to the news, and I want to get into some things particularly about the news. And really what I've been saying for a while, you guys noticed how I started slowing down on doing as much news. We were doing like straight just news broadcasts for so long before we started reading Bramley. And it gets to the point sometimes where you feel like you just don't even want to look at it. You don't want to participate in that media cycle stuff anymore. It's just so dangerous. There's so much disinfo flying around out there, and people take things and exaggerate it and blow it out of proportion. And it's, you know, cause they think that's the right thing to do. That's what they've been conditioned to do. So we'll talk about some of that tonight as well for you. You can always email me during the broadcast, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you have comments, you have anything you want to hear me discuss here on the broadcast tonight, that's where you send that at. And I'll do my best to get into all the things that you may ask me here on the broadcast. And I would love to have your emails, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. You guys always have great emails that you send in to me. Somebody wanted to know a song that I played the before or the broadcast the other night. It was Monday night. That was, I sent that person an email back, but in case you didn't get the email or in case you're wondering, the song that was playing, I'll play it for you again tonight if you want. It was on a bumper, but it was playing before on Metal Monday. It was playing before the show. It was Sabra Kadabra by Black Sabbath. That was the song. So there you go, listener. I hope that that answers your question there. Now, this is our fundraising week, so we need to meet our chip and banner goal. It would be good if we could do that sooner rather than later. And the goal is set there, the chip and banner, so please donate if you can and help us be able to meet the goal that we have here for paying for the bills and everything else separately from what we do with the movies and all that stuff. So please, we did get some support on the movie front, but we have to pay the bills and stuff, and that's a totally separate thing. You can't pay the bills out of what you have to put into the film, so... Or at least you get into a situation where, you know, it takes a lot longer and we're trying to get this done as fast as we can. I'm hoping to have at least a rough cut or something that you guys can see next week. I don't know if it'll be complete, but it'll be something you can see and you'll be getting a chance to see something next week. So I'll keep you guys posted on when that's going to happen. Hopefully it'll happen sometime on the 5th. I'm just still frantically working, trying to get it done. Frankly, right now when I'm on air, I don't even want to talk about it because when you're doing one thing all the time and it becomes something you're doing all the time, when you go to do something else, you don't really want to talk about that one thing you do all the time. It's kind of how it is with me with filmmaking right now. I'm not really interested in talking about it much, to be honest with you. It's kind of a pain to talk about because it's just those things. It's like if all you do is, you know, if you work in a burger joint or you work in a pizza place, you know, you don't want to come home and describe to everybody you know all the various types of pizzas and that you made all day and exactly how many toppings you put on. It's like, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I was fucking doing that shit all day. I don't want to talk about it now. I'm off of work. Kind of how it is for me with the filmmaking thing, so... You know, that's just kind of how it is. But anyway, love to hear from you in the chat room as well. If you want to go in there and hang out with people in a troll-free environment, we try to keep a pretty troll-free environment around here. Global Reality at the Global Reality chat. Lots of moon batters in there tonight, flapping their wings. So you might want to go in there and flap your moon bat wings as well for the moon bat late night broadcast here for you. On the Global Reality Radio Network, I continue to see, I've seen this for so long, and I've said this before, and it's interesting because I said this about, I think, a person who's now connected to this website I'm about to talk about, but I said the same thing, you know, I think it was that video that person made where they were confronting Penn and Teller, and I was like, you know, this is just kind of, it's just kind of sloppily done, you know. His facts are wrong. It just kind of makes other people look bad because you're amateurish. And, you know, again, I'm willing to give people the benefit of a doubt to a certain extent that they're just noobs and they're just rookies and they make mistakes and they put out bad info. But, you know, you just have to be aware when these things happen and when you see stuff that is disinfo. Now you can give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Maybe, you know, maybe you say, okay, well, we weren't aware this is disinfo or whatever have you. but after you start to see it repeated times, that can start to become a problem. So I saw this article that was posted on the Intel Hub website. High levels of radiation reported at Perry Nuclear Plant in Ohio. And their source article was One India News. Now, any of those India paper, India Daily, India News, those are known CIA disinfo fronts. Many of these articles, if you can't find these stories traced back to any, they don't source anything. They don't say what their source of this information is, and it becomes very suspect. And then someone pointed out that there was actually an article from the local news area that reported that there was a problem with the facility. It was worded very differently. And the Intel Hub article, the one that they sourced from, it seemed to make it sound that it was worse than it actually was in the local report on the problem at the Perry Nuclear Plant in Ohio. I was just wondering why they didn't put that in there. Whether they did this on purpose or whether it was a mistake, it was an honest mistake, and they just thought it was a credible source and didn't, because they, you know, maybe they haven't been paying attention to a lot of these disinfo news sites as much as I have, because, I mean, I've been doing this for so long that, I can just tell by looking at when I see a certain story and the way it's worded and everything and blown stuff out of proportion. If it's one of those India-type sites, I can tell that immediately that that's a disinfo site. But some people can't. You know, some people can't do that yet. So we have to be at least willing to give those people the benefit of the doubt. And I'm totally willing to give these guys the benefit of the doubt on this. I'm not like, you know, I'm not trying to get up here and be like, oh, they're putting out disinfo. That's not what I'm saying. I'm strictly trying to be a friend and be, you know, play the part of somebody who has a lot of experience in this and, you know, hopefully keep people from putting out bad, not really, you know, intentional disinfo, but bad info and stuff that sometimes doesn't check out. And that was my whole point. You know, that's why I'm really kind of tired of the news, because there is so much of that going around. And you don't want to get yourself caught up in it, because that's exactly what they want. You know, they love to put stuff out there like this to bait us, to try and ruin our credibility so they can come back later and say, oh, yeah, you know, the kooks, the conspiracy there is blah, blah, blah. They said this. And then we go, well, that came from, you know, your source, your article. And they go, oh, it doesn't matter. That's it doesn't matter, because you put that there to bait us, to try and get us to take the bait and run with a story. It's all over the place. It's very rampant. And I think that if you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be involving yourself in the news and the news cycles and having a website where you're putting up news, it's very important to be very, very attentive to the sources and the things that you're posting, because, you know, you post to one too many sorts of fall articles. You know, and if you don't know who Sorcha Fall is and you're posting those articles, well, I got bad news for you. But, you know, you post one or two of those, and I've seen people, there used to be people that would come into my chat room and they would post nothing but links to these, you know, Sorcha Fall or India Times disinfo articles. And they would conveniently always be the ones that would be trolling and starting shit too. So I'm just, you know, I'm very, I didn't see this, I'll say this. I'm going to put it to you like this. I didn't see this article posted on Lee Rogers' website. I wonder why. Because Lee probably took one look at it and said, yeah, you know, he probably said the same exact thing I did. That this, yeah, this is coming from a shady source and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. So, you know, people just need to be aware that there's so much out there that they're waiting for us to just grasp a lot of this news that comes out is so ridiculous sometimes. And I, you know, I look at hundreds and hundreds of news stories a day, thousands of news stories a week, literally. So much of my day is spent just, you know, in front of the computer looking at news and going through and looking at different websites and things of that nature, trying to gain a bigger perspective. But some of this stuff, I have to tell you, there's been a lot of stories I've seen blatantly pointed at the alternative media. You're like, why are they allowing this stuff to come out now? They're pointing this at us because they want us to run with this so they can later use it to damage our credibility. So you have to be aware of this. But we've got some various important news stories here tonight. While we're on the subject, let's just get into this now. Because this is just a completely ridiculous news story from Alternet, which, you know, they'll post anything by anybody. So I don't give this. This was from Miller McCune Magazine by Tom Jacobs, whoever that is, you know, alternate. They'll post, you can pay them a fee and they'll post any article. So I don't give any credibility to this, but still the fact that someone would think like this. And now this is the kind of reverse psychology bullshit they're trying to pull on people. Now that they know that there's a mass awakening happening around the planet, and there is. And you guys, a lot of you probably heard this or seen this by now, but if you haven't, you're going to laugh at this. This is the kind of horseshit that they're having to resort to now because of the damage that researchers and you guys out there, all of us, have done to their credibility. They try to turn around, literally, in this article, ladies and gentlemen, they try to turn around and use the Machiavellian mindset against, and they literally say that people who believe in conspiracy theories have a Machiavellian mindset. Now, for those of you who have been listening to this show lately, as we've been reading William Bramley's The Gods of Eden, if you've read that book or you've been reading along or you've been listening to my reading, this should infuriate you to no end. What have we established that these Machiavellian mindset operations originate from? The custodians, the elite, the ones in charge, right? These asshats now, ladies and gentlemen, are trying to say that people who believe in conspiracy theories may have a Machiavellian mindset. No, you guys are the Machiavellians, not us. You guys have been running this operation against for years, and now you're trying to flip the script and put it on us and say because we're trying to point out the truth that we have a Machiavellian mindset. This is the most Orwellian thing I've heard in a very long time, folks. This is, how much more Orwellian do you need? The Machiavellian mindset tries to say those that say that there's a Machiavellian plan mindset are accused of having a Machiavellian mindset. Let me say that one more time. Those who are using a Machiavellian mindset are accusing people who are exposing the Machiavellian mindset of having a Machiavellian mindset. I mean, if that's not, you know, 2 + 2 = 3, I don't know what is. One surprising reason people may believe in bizarre conspiracy theories. Okay, now, any conspiracy theorist, no doubt they try to convince you that man didn't really land on the moon or President Obama was born in Kenya. In fact, they were imparting genuinely interesting information about themselves. New research suggests belief in such theories may reveal a Machiavellian mindset. You can't make this up. At least some samples, and for some conspiracy theorists, the perception that they did it is fueled by the perception that I would do it. University of Kent psychologists Karen Douglas and Robbie Sutton write in the British Journal of Social Psychology. These studies suggest that people who have more lax personal morality may endorse conspiracy theories to a greater extent because they are, on average, more willing to participate in conspiracies themselves. That makes no sense. People who believe in or in information and believe in the truth believe it because at some point this conspiracy has worked against them and they're trying to break free from it. We're trying to break free of the shackles that have been put around us by the system, and then the system that has put the shackles around us tries to turn it around and act like what they're doing, we're doing. This is an abomination. This is a complete affront to all journalistic integrity. The guy who wrote this shit should be ashamed of himself at minimum, be put in the corner and made to wear a Dick Cheney hat while getting beat with Man Coulter with a whip at maximum. Something. My God, you probably like it though. The reasons people persist in believing conspiracy theories, even when there is overwhelming evidence to debunk them, I've never really seen a lot of overwhelming evidence. I mean, maybe some dumbass ones, stuff that, you know, wasn't real anyway, but my God. Have long been debated by psychologists. One credible theory contends convincing ourselves of conspiracies allows us to avoid acknowledging the terrifying arbitrariness of life. Well, yeah, well, that just wraps it up, doesn't it? Convincing ourselves of conspiracies allows us. No, man, you know, that right there is obviously bullshit because anybody who knows anything about anything knows that once you find out about this information, you're not anymore. You don't have no choice. You can't just avoid the terrifying arbitrariness of life anymore. And in fact, the arbitrariness of life subsides once you figure out this information. Because once you know who the enemy is, and once you know who's been keeping this oppression on you your whole life, you are no longer enslaved by it. You then can then work forward and work within that structure without being controlled by it as much. I mean, this is complete lies. This completely comes from a mindset of somebody who is writing this. This is a complete CIA operation. There's no question. Anybody in their right mind who knew anything about anything wouldn't be describing this. That's not in any way, shape, or form close to the truth of how it is when you find out the truth about information or conspiracies or whatever their stupid nomenclature wants to say it is. In a strange way, some conspiracy theories offer us accounts of events that allow us to retain a sense of safety and predictability. British psychologist Patrick Lehman noted in New Scientist magazine in 2007 that instability makes most of us uncomfortable. Douglas and Sutton aren't denying that fear avoidance plays a role, but they're pointing to a different, perhaps complementary phenomenon in some cases. They argue belief in conspiracies is a matter of psychological projection, that is, the tendency to apply one's own attitude to others. In one study, 189 British undergraduates completed the Mach 4 questionnaire to measure their level of Machiavellianism. That is, their tendency to deceive and manipulate others for personal gain. This involves expressing one's level of agreement with a series of statements such as, quote, the best way to handle people is to tell them what they want to hear. Then they set a series of 17 statements describing well-known conspiracy theories and rated their plausibility on a scale of 1 to 7. They also rated their likelihood that if they were in the shoes of the alleged conspirators, that they would have taken part in the conspiracy. This is just sick, twisted, turnaround, reverse psychology bullshit, folks. The researchers found that personal willingness to engage in the conspiracies predicted endorsement of conspiracy theories. So did a propensity to manipulate others for personal gain. For example, they write, highly Machiavellian individuals were seemingly more likely to believe that government agents staged the 9/11 attacks because they were more likely to perceive that they would do so themselves. So, if you believe that if you believe that 9/11 was staged by somebody, and it was the truth of what they told us wasn't the truth, then that means that because you believe that, you would most likely participate in that conspiracy if you were in a position to. So I guess this is psychological evidence now for them that says that if you believe that 9/11 attacks were staged by government agents, that you were more likely to perceive that you would do so yourself if they found themselves in the government's position. So they're saying if you were in the position of the government, you would do the same exact thing. That's what they just said right there. Let me read it again. For example, they write, highly Machiavellian individuals were seemingly more likely to believe that government agents staged the 9/11 attacks because they were more likely to perceive that they would do so themselves if they found themselves in the government's position. So they're saying, they just think it's an inside job, think it's a conspiracy, and think the government did it because if they were in the position that the government's in, they would do the same damn thing. That's what they do. They'd stage it. So not only, this is choice. This is two for one for them. So not only are they figuring out a way here to say, well, what would you do? If you were us, you would have done the same thing. We can prove that scientifically. It's a Machiavellian theory. We can prove beyond any shadow of a doubt. That's what they're saying here, scientific study. That we can prove not only would you have done exactly what the government did in staging the 9/11 attacks, but also because of that, because of you having that Machiavellian attitude, believing in conspiracy theories, that also means that makes you a terrorist. So you're a terrorist, and even if the government did do it, you would have done the same thing in their position. We can scientifically prove it. My God, ladies and gentlemen. This kind of crosses the fucking threshold, doesn't it? Are the rest of you not boiling as mad as I am right now? Because this pushes the goddamn threshold of pretty much anything else I've ever read on this show in almost 4 years of doing it. This is in black and white. Let me drop this in the chat room for you. You'd do the same thing if you were in their shoes, but that doesn't matter anyway. Because that makes you a terrorist. Oh. And I understand that all these things are selective and there are selective enforcement and all that, but it's still scary, man. A second study refined these results. A group of 60 undergraduates participated in the same experiment, but half of them were first asked to spend a few minutes thinking of a time when they helped another person. Those who had been contemplating their own act of kindness were less likely to agree with the conspiracy theories, with the exception of those who scored high on the Machiavellian scale. We do not argue that projection alone explains why people believe in conspiracy theories, the researchers caution, but these findings point to a potent psychological mechanism that helps explain why some rumors refuse to die. The theme of the conspiratorially minded television series, The X-Files, was trust no one. Perhaps it should be amended to read, trust no one, especially devoted fans of The X-Files. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I've ever read a bigger piece of propaganda and horseshit is that, but my God, I mean, if this is giving them the ability to be able to try and turn the Machiavellian mindset, you guys have heard me reading Brambley. If you haven't read it and you didn't hear me read it, either go back and listen to the broadcast or go read the book and read the part where at the beginning where he's all about the Machiavellian mindset and how that was a complete creation of the custodians who then set up the elite, the bloodlines who are in charge making the laws now, and they're trying to turn that around on us. Now that we figured out that's what their agenda is, now they're trying to say people who believe there's a Machiavellian conspiracy are Machiavellian-minded. Hello, Orwell, party of one. Your table's now ready. Now seating in the disinfo section. Come get it. My God. All right, what else do we have today? Other big news today. General Petraeus goes to the CIA and Leon Panetta goes to the Pentagon. The spooks are doing a big move around. This should be a big, big time indicator that we are heading into, more of the same. But I think this is a big move. I think this is, I'm not going to get into the speculation game. It could be any manner of things. I would say minimum more war. War of some kind, maybe a space war. Maybe that's what's going on. Did you guys see that video that was over Kyrgyzstan or something of this comet or meteor or rocket or spaceship or something coming in into the atmosphere? These little UFO things come in and start zapping it and like disintegrating. It's nuts. But they're shifting the spooks all around in the intelligence agency. This probably generally signals moving to a larger theater of war. That's generally, traditionally, historically, what that has always signaled, always represented. When you start seeing the high-level spookertons moving around like they are today with this is a big move, and it could, maybe this is what this is for. It says, it's from Press TV, U.S. at risk of war with China and Russia. The U.S. is at risk of a war with Russia and China, and its main objective behind engineering the Libyan war and Syrian unrest is to remove the two world powers out of the Mediterranean, a former U.S. official warns. Washington is all for invading against Libya and is putting more and more pressure to intervene in Syria because we want to clear China and Russia out of the Mediterranean. And guess who this is being said by? Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary to the U.S. Treasury in Panama City. So here's the thing. So on the one hand, we have the fact that we have Leon Panetta and Spooky Spookerton from getting moved around, shifted from over to the, from a crystal getting moved around over to the CIA and over to the Pentagon. And in the middle of that, we have Paul Craig Roberts here on Press TV, fear-mongering, we're going to be at war with China and Russia. Now, you know, I'm not going to argue with him. There's a lot of evidence that points in that direction. I think you'd be a fool to think so. To not think so. It definitely is pointing, a lot pointing in that direction. But you see how this all comes out right in the same week that Ron Paul launches his election campaign. And as Lee and I were talking about last night, it seems, you know, as soon as the campaign, here comes all the CMP cronies out of the sign house. They all got to have their photo op and their TV minute. Get to plug their shit. I mean, that's what these campaigns are for these guys. You guys understand that? It's not about winning a campaign or putting a, that's what the whole racket is. Running for president is a racket. And the whole racket that they're running is getting people to believe that somehow these candidates that they're voting for, like Ron Paul and giving all this money to, have any kind of a chance to win, and they do not. They're not put in there for that. They're put in there to grease the skids. And these guys are continuing to grease the skids by believing this pipe dream. But they very well may switch and flip the script this time. They may, who knows, man? The stranger things have happened. They may let Ron Paul win, and they may, they may just unleash a hellstorm on us. We just don't know yet. But again, as stuff ramps up, as I said, so does the fear-mongering, so does the disinfo, the CMP snakes start crawling out of the sign hatch. It's just, and if that's not enough for you, oh, my God. Pope John Paul's blood to go on display at the Vatican. Blood will be available for veneration at John Paul II's beatification after being taken from Pontiff as he lay dying. A vial filled with the blood of the late Pope John Paul II will go on display at his beatification on Sunday after becoming available for veneration by the faithful. The Vatican said that the blood, which had been stored in a Rome hospital, had been kept in a liquid state by an anticoagulant that was added with it when it was taken from him. The Polish pontiff is said to be beatified at a service celebrated by his successor. More than 50 heads of state and several hundred thousand pilgrims are expected in Rome for the occasion. Yeah, something might pop off here. Not many people in town. There might be something going down with this. And having his blood on hand, that would just be symbolic, wouldn't it? What's so special about his blood? They're going in worshiping his blood. I thought you weren't supposed to deify, these humans. I mean, if you guys haven't figured out what's going on with these Catholics and what a sick fucking priest class extraterrestrial creation of this and what a bastardization of them, these guys are pure evil. They talk about devil and the Satan and all and the dark one and all this shit. They are devil and the Satan and Lucifer and the dark one. They're everything dark. Everything dark and disturbing and sick that happens on this planet comes from these Catholic motherfuckers. You understand that? I don't know how to get it through your thick fucking heads anymore. These guys go around calling everybody else sick and twisted and disgusted. Well, they're the ones that are sick and twisted and disgusted. And oh man, it's just ridiculous. Listen to this. It says that, The remaining two vials stayed in the hospital where they were devoutly safeguarded by the nuns who worked there as nurses. Both had been put into reliquaries, ornate relic containers that are usually made with precious metals and stones. Precious metals and stones. So they made like a ephod thing out of it, like they did with the skull of John the Baptist. They've got the skull of John the Baptist with an ephod around it, which is a stone that has 13 stones around it. It's a communication device. The 13 stones represent the 13 tribes of Israel and the 13 different extraterrestrial races. It's a spirit world communication device. They have in the Vatican John the Baptist's head with this thing around it. So you're telling me around these vials, they basically put precious metals and stones around it? They're using this for energy for something, either to gain energy from, pull energy from. That's what they're doing. They put stones and crystals around it, and his essence, his energy, they're going and taking out of the blood. Because obviously he was one of these bloodlines. You don't get beatified unless you're one of the bloodlines, folks. Come on. That's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable admission. They would just admit that they contain it. They made an ornate relic to hold the blood, made with precious metals and stones. And most people, that just go over most people's heads. They wouldn't even know why that's important. I mean, this is dark, dark occult ritual stuff we're talking about here, done in the broad daylight, done under the guise of Christianity and Catholicism and everything else. Sick. One of the reliquaries was to be returned to the hospital. The other would be exhibited on Sunday and then be kept with the other relics in the Vatican. Beatification is the final stage before canonization, though not all those who are beatified and are thereafter styled blessed are raised to sainthood. Pope John Paul II is to be beatified barely 6 years after his death. He was fast-tracked after the Vatican accepted he was responsible for the miraculous cure of a French nun. One miracle is sufficient for beatification. Two are required for canonization. Unbelievable stuff. We're going to take a break, come back, and I think we just got a few more news stories to finish up with tonight. We're going to continue on the reading from William Bramley's The Gods of Eden and The Count of Saint Germain tonight. So stay with us, folks. This is The Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. We'll be back in a few minutes. Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you for being with us tonight here for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And we're going to be getting into some more news here for you. And then we're going to be reading from William Bramley's Gods of Eden tonight, the Count of St. Germain. Thanks for staying up late with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. If you're listening later on a rebroadcast or listening to an archive, thank you for tuning in and finding the show as well. You can also find the day's archives. One of our listeners, Eliminated Scam, has a YouTube channel that he puts up the daily archives on as well. So it's a great way you can go and find those. And then you can spread this around on social networking sites. And it's a good way to get the shows in the hands of people quickly that maybe, you know, are too lazy to go and fucking download a show from a website. And unfortunately, that's the case. But, you know, you put it in somebody's hands and you make it easy for them, and you don't give them a way to wiggle out of listening to it by having it in a, you know, in a YouTube video that you can get somebody maybe to pay attention to some information they may have, they may not have heard before. So there you go. And again, our fundraising week is this week. So please help us reach the goal and chip and banner by the week so we can pay the bills for the month. And also at the website, theglobalreality.com, where said chip-in banner is, there's also the donate button. We've got a new one up there. Hopefully it's been working better. I hadn't got any more reports that people were having problems, so I don't know. But I was getting reports a few days ago that there was problems with some of our donate stuff. So we've changed those out. Hopefully it'll be work. But if you ever had any problems, if you do try to donate at any point and it doesn't go through, it doesn't work, will you please just send me an email, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Just shoot me an email. Let me know. Cause what I'm wondering is, you know, is this happening to people who, you know, who aren't chat room regulars? You know what I'm saying? You know, very well could be happening to people and I'm not knowing about it. So, if you've had any problems with the chipping band, the donate button, if you've tried to donate and it wouldn't work, but you know, you weren't able to get me that information, I would like to know that information. So please send me an email, globalrealityshow@gmail.com, and just say, hey, you know, I tried to donate, it didn't work or anything. Cause I was thinking about that. You know, I was thinking, man, the couple of people had problems are people that I know, you know, I was like, well, if it's people that I know, because it was just, you know, people I've known for a long time and regular listeners and supporters and stuff, and it was them that was having problems. So I was thinking, well, it could very well could be that there's people out there that I don't know about that have had issues with it. So just shoot me an email. Let me know if you have. Let's get back into our news here tonight. Archaeologists recover massive statue of one of ancient Egypt's most powerful pharaohs. See, wouldn't this be something? You know, Hawass gets put on lockdown, and then all of a sudden we start seeing new archaeological discoveries and new antiquities popping up in Egypt. Wouldn't that be something? You know, him out of the picture, and all of a sudden, you know, stuff they've been keeping from us for years starts to appear. It wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if that's what the whole stage revolution was about. Archaeologists unearthed one of the largest statues ever found to date of a powerful ancient Egyptian pharaoh at his mortuary temple in the southern city of Luxor. The country's antiquities authority announced on Tuesday the 42-foot-tall statue of Amenhotep III was one of a pair that flanked the northern entrance to a grand funerary temple on the west bank of the Nile that is currently the focus of a major excavation. The statue consists of seven large quartized blocks and still lacks a head, and was actually first discovered in the 1928. Why would you say that? Bad English. You know, speak of English. Oh, booger, I think I got a frush. What the fuck is a frush? First discovered in the 1928, dog. And then rehidden, according to the press release from the country's antiquities authority. Archaeologists expect to find its twin in the next digging season. Excavation supervisor Abdel Ghafir Wagdi said the two other statues were also unearthed, one of the god Thoth with a baboon's head and a 6-foot-tall one of the lion-headed goddess Sakhmet. Archaeologists working on the temple over the past few years have issued a flood of announcements about new discoveries of statues. The 3,400-year-old temple is one of the largest of the West Bank of the Nile in Luxor, where the powerful pharaohs of Egypt's new kingdom built their tombs. Amenhotep III, who was the grandfather of the famed boy pharaoh Tutankhamun, ruled in the 14th century BC at the height of Egypt's new kingdom and presided over a vast empire stretching from Nubia in the south to Syria in the north. The pharaoh's temple was largely destroyed, possibly by floods, and the little remains of its walls. I love how they say that. The pharaoh's temple was largely destroyed, possibly by floods. Well, it was destroyed by floods. That would have to mean that it was there. That pushes back the dates of when they told us these things were built. I would say number one. Number two, I love how they say possibly by floods. That means they don't know for sure. Could have been extraterrestrial invasion for all we know, right? It was also devastated by an earthquake in 27 BC, but archaeologists have been able to unearth a wealth of artifacts and statuary in the buried ruins. One of two statues of Amenhotep made of black granite found at the site in March of 2009. So interesting stuff there. Let's see what else we have. Lots of science stuff. You know, because, I mean, as our knowledge is exponentiating and as our understanding and our consciousness is exponentiating, things are, you know, coming out now with it scientifically. I think they're going to try and do Jurassic Park after all. I think we're going to see Jurassic Park before the end, before it's all said and done. I think we're going to see it in our lifetime. I'm all for it, man. Bring it on. Fuck it. I'm down with it, you know. As long as you keep some boys in there with some napalm, it'll be all right. By inserting a 43,000-year-old woolly mammoth gene into Escherichia coli bacteria, scientists have figured out how these ancient beasts adapted to the sub-zero temperatures of prehistoric Siberia and North America. The gene, which codes for the oxygen-transporting protein hemoglobin, allowed the animals to keep their tissues supplied with oxygen even at very low temperatures. It's no different from going back to 40,000 years and taking a blood sample from a living mammoth, says Kevin Campbell, a biologist at the University of Manitoba in Canada. Campbell's team obtained DNA from mammoth bone preserved in the Siberian permafrost. It was a long journey for Campbell, whose specialty is the physiology of mammals. A decade ago, he saw a Discovery Channel program on the recovery of a mammoth specimen encased in ice and wondered if such specimens might hold clues to the physiology of the mammoth. Campbell worked with DNA expert Alan Cooper of the University of Adelaide in Australia to isolate the mammoth gene responsible for hemoglobin. Then he and colleagues plugged in the gene into E. coli. The goal, says Campbell, was to make the bacteria produce mammoth hemoglobin in the lab. A similar process is used to synthesize human proteins like insulin. Although they were created in a bacterium, he says, the hemoglobin proteins are identical to what mammoth cells would have produced. Once the researchers had their mammoth hemoglobin, they compared it with that from Asian and African elephants, and the elephant hemoglobin functioned much like human hemoglobin, delivering oxygen more efficiently at warmer temperatures. That helps the hemoglobin transport oxygen from its hardest working muscles. Yeah, they want to figure out how they can, you know, they want to make sure when they resurrect one of these things, it can stay alive in any climate, you know. That's really what they're doing this for. And it goes on and on and on to talk about a bunch of useless information, but I mean, what other reason would they be doing this for? They got to make sure these things can survive in zoos and no matter what climate they're in, right? That's what they've got to do this for. They're not fooling anybody. Close Encounters of the Third Reich. New movie, Iron Sky. Wasn't that a video game? Iron Sky. I was going to say Iron Sky was a video game. I think this is an adaptation from a video game. About Nazi UFOs. I believe it was. Could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. New movie Iron Sky, due out next year, tells the story of Nazis escaping to the moon to regroup for a new attempt at world domination. But after trawling through top secret Nazi archives, the Sun can reveal the truth about Hitler's UFOs is far more chilling. One alleged site of production of the Nazi UFOs is a series of tunnels buried underneath the Jonas Valley in Thuringia, central Germany. Yeah. Peenemünde. I mean, the blueprints have been out on this for years. I mean, yeah, Hitler had UFOs. Fucking BMW built the engines, for God's sakes. They admit to that. BMW saw us the blueprints of them. They built the engines. Here under the command of SS General Hans Kammler, legions of slave laborers worked to bring the Führer's fantasies into existence. The respected German science magazine PM has reported how advanced the program was as scientists toiled in secret factories to produce the wonder weapon to win the war. The magazine quotes eyewitnesses who saw a flying saucer marked with a German Iron Cross flying low over the Thames in 1944. America also treated the existence of weapons seriously, it said. The U.S. believed that Germany could use it to drop weapons on New York, a target the Fuhrer obsessed on as the war progressed. At the time, the New York Times reported on a mysterious flying disc with the photos of the device seen traveling at extremely high speeds over the city's high-rise buildings. Apparently, that machine was capable on its maiden flight of traveling 2,000 kilometers. The Germans had destroyed much of the paperwork of their activities, but there are numerous hints that it did indeed exist. This is the latest revelation about odd UFO activity. 2 weeks ago, we told how 8,000 cows were snatched by mystery aircraft then dropped from the skies in the U.S. The Nazi UFO project was driven by engineers Rudolf Shriver and Otto Hammerball and was based in Prague between 1941 and 1943. Initially a Luftwaffe project, it eventually fell under the control of armaments minister Albert Speer before being taken over again in 1944 by Kammler. Eyewitness captured by allies after the war claimed to have seen the saucer fly on several occasions. Joseph Andreas Epp, an engineer who served as a consultant to the Shriver-Hammerball project, claimed 15 prototypes were built. He described how a central cockpit surrounded by rotating adjustable wing vanes formed a circle. The vanes were held together by a band at the outer edge and were set in rotation by small rockets placed around the rim. Once rotational speed was sufficient and liftoff was achieved, horizontal jets and rockets were ignited. A German official recorded at the Prague Gebel Aerodrome in September 1943 that he saw inside a hangar a disc 5 to 6 meters in diameter. Its body is relatively large at the center. Underneath it, it had 4 tall, thin legs. Height almost as tall as a man. Thickness some 30 to 40 centimeters. Along with my friends, I saw the device emerge from the hangar. It was then we heard the roar of the engines. We saw the external side of the disc begin to rotate and the vehicle began to move slowly and in a straight line toward the southern end of the field. It then rose almost 1 meter into the air. After moving some 300 meters in that altitude, it stopped again. Its landing was rather rough, and later the thing took off again, managing to reach the end of the aerodrome this time. This theory is further fueled by Igor Wiedotowski, a Polish journalist and historian of military and aerospace technology. In his 2000 book, Płata o Wunderwaffe, he claims Hitler wanted his top scientists at his disposal to work on bell-shaped aircraft. So impressive was Nazi technology found at the end of World War II, V-2 rocket scientists were hunted down by the U.S. and Soviets and hired for their own missile and space programs. More than 120 rocket scientists, including Wernher von Braun, who became a central figure at NASA, went to the U.S.-German engineer George Klein and claimed 2 types of flying discs had been created by the Nazis. A non-rotating disc developed by V-2 engineer Richard Mithey was captured by the Russians. The Shriver and Hammerball model, Klein claimed that he saw this craft's first manned flight in February 1945 when it climbed to 40,700 feet and reached 1,400 miles an hour. My goodness. Klein, who went on to have a distinguished post-war career as an aeronautical engineer, said, "I don't consider myself a crackpot or eccentric or someone that often is given to fantasies. This is what I saw with my own eyes, a Nazi UFO." British and American bomber crews also reported strange sightings over enemy territory. And, yeah, it's fascinating stuff. It says that conspiracy theorists believe that Americans found 2 things in the tunnels, a nuclear bomb and the flying saucers meant to deliver it. Martin State, author of the book on the area, claims that 174 flying saucers were developed at the site. He continues to search the tunnels illegally and hasn't found them yet. Why else would Americans take away everything that they found and place the results under a 100-year secrecy order? That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of speculation on where he got the information from. A lot of people believe that he found some of this hidden sacred knowledge and went back to ancient Mesopotamia. It very, very well could be. And that as he was initially funded to be a... and very much was a successful tool for the power structure. He started to get a little bit too big for his britches and became a threat to the power structure itself. He threatened to have to unleash power and technology and things that, it would have made him. When he said he was going to be the Fuhrer, he meant he was going to be the Fuhrer, and that was going to be the tip top of the pyramid. There wasn't going to be anybody above him. You know what I mean? He meant that he was going to be the boss of everything, the boss of the bosses. The bosses above him that put him in power were going to be subservient to him after he unleashed the technology and the things that he had been doing. That's why they ultimately pulled the plug on him. Same thing with Saddam Hussein. No question, the same thing with Saddam Hussein, absolutely. Let's see what else we got here tonight. While we're on the subject of that, makes you wonder here. I mean, I think it's absolutely positively the reason why this next story is transpired the way it has. SETI Institute to shut down alien-seeking radio dishes. Yeah. Because, you know, number one, they probably wouldn't be able to pick up our signals. They probably wouldn't be picking up anything that antiquated. Number two, we already know there are aliens out there. Give me a fucking break.
Suck Satan's cock.
I mean, come on. Lacking the money to pay its operating expenses, Mountain View's SETI Institute has pulled the plug on the renowned Alien Telescope Array, a field of radio dishes that can scan the skies for signals from extraterrestrial civilizations. In an April 22nd letter to donors, SETI Institute CEO Tom Pearson said that the last week the array was put into hibernation, safe, but non-functioning because of inadequate government support. I think they've been, you know, who knows what they've been beaming out there for years. There's food down here. Come get it. They're dumb. Large violent tornadoes devastated the South on Wednesday, killing dozens of people. Tornadoes remain a threat for the mid-Atlantic to southern Alabama. The tornadoes and severe thunderstorms have killed at least 72 people across the South on Wednesday. According to the Associated Press, and the death toll will continue to rise. I mean, as I said last week, I think we're in the heart of weather war. I think weather warfare is going on right now. I think it's being executed, and I think we're in the middle of a weather war right now. Honestly, I really do. Never seen anything like this. It could be that, or it could be that this is a result of things that our planet's going through. I don't know. Either one's plausible. I've said that again before. I'll say it again. Either one of those ideas is plausible. I'm kind of on the fence of which one I think is absolutely the case, but hell, it could be both for all we know, right? Out of those deaths, at least 58 occurred in Alabama alone. 9 deaths have been confirmed in Georgia, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And it goes on to say that, trying to see where it had this number. There was something like, oh man, where did it go? I don't know. There was 180 something that was in one weekend. I don't know how many have been there. I guess another 85 tornadoes in one night or something. It's just out of control. So catastrophic changes happening to our planet because of the sun and because of we're moving closer to galactic alignment. I mean, I got to honestly say I'm leaning more towards that as my explanation. But I can't discount the weather warfare information either, and I can't discount the possibility that this is the new covert war that's being waged, and this is why, taxes increase, gas prices are going through. We're in the middle of a secret war, a war that's not officially proclaimed and announced to the public because the implications of the technology that is being used would raise questions as to the origins of that technology in relation to our current believed technological status. So, the evidence for me just really points in the direction to being unignorable that there's a weather warfare going on. But I do also know that our planet is also going through natural catastrophic changes because of galactic alignment, because it's being pulled, because of what the sun is doing, solar minimums, solar maximums we're moving into, sunspot cycles, all these factors happening at once. So again, you know, I just want to make it crystal clear that I think if you believe that it's weather warfare, you're fine. That, you know, fine. No problem. You know, if that's what you believe, great. If you believe it's not weather warfare and you believe it's, you know, because of galactic alignment and solar issues and all the rest of this stuff, hey, fine. I'll support you there too. Either one of those. Both very plausible. Let's see what else we have here tonight before we get back into reading from Bramley here. Church of Scientology buys Landmark Hollywood Production Studio. The Church of Scientology has bought a Landmark Hollywood Production Studio as it seeks to increase its global reach through television and the internet. Hey, here we go. As I told you 2 years ago, Scientology now lining up to be the one world religion. When they unleash the aliens, folks, what do you think all these religious nuts who are going to need a religion to run to are going to run to? They're going to run kicking and screaming to Scientology by design. Watch. You want to bet? Watch. How do I know? Because the fact that Frater H, Earl Ron Hubbard, along with Jack Parsons, who created the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, were initiates. Jack Parsons was one of the greatest magicians that ever lived. He pulled the Babylon working ritual off, tore a fabric in space-time and brought an entity through it and everything. And the fact that they studied and they were under the understudies of Crowley, and they knowing the origins of the stuff that Crowley was into and his creation of Thelema and all of his work, which all of the stuff that Crowley was drawing from was the same stuff that John Dee before him was drawing from, and all that stuff goes back to the Babylonian mystery religions prior to even people like Pythagoras and the Freemasons or anything else. And so when you see that that's where the origins of Scientology come in, and you see how this is all connected into the power structure and all connected back to the priest class and the secret societies, that's when I at least started understanding, you know, this is why they've been pushing Scientology to the forefront. This is why they've been using, you know, movie stars and celebrities to push it. It's going to be the one world religion after they roll out this alien disclosure stuff. The 300,000 square foot lot on Sunset Boulevard is currently home to KCET, the largest independent public television station in the United States. Yeah. So they're moving out the public television station and putting in Scientology instead, because they're getting rid of independent public TV across the board. Local access TVs disappearing all over the country. The studio contains two sound stages and state-of-the-art post-production satellite and internet broadcasting facilities. The undisclosed asking price ran into millions of dollars and has been valued at $14 million. The organization, founded in 1953 by science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard, counts Hollywood stars Tom Cruise and John Travolta among its followers. Fags.
Suck Satan's cock, Tom. You too, John. You haven't had a big dose of my Satan gravy in a long time. Suck Satan's cock.
It already has production facilities and numerous sound stages on a 500-acre site outside of Los Angeles. Good for them. And launch their propaganda machine into the world a little bit more. All right, let's take a break, come back, and we'll get into reading more from the Count of Saint Germain out of William Bramley's The Gods of Eden for you here tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com if you got a late night comment or you got anything, anything you want to ask me, anything you'd like to hear me talk about here tonight before I get back into the book. Love to hear from you. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. We'll be back with you here in just a few minutes. This is The Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. Japan,
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the long man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? Tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clown. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, as I ask you to focus on.